Nightlife. Bite-sized history.
Good evening, Phil. It's great to be here.
Well, these two nurses were on a ship called the Empire Star on the 11th of February 1942. Now, where were they and what was happening at this stage in the Pacific War?
Well, they'd recently arrived in Singapore. The Empire Star was a British ship, and it had travelled from England via Bombay to Singapore and had arrived at Singapore on the 29th of January 1942, which was just a few days before Singapore was captured by the Japanese. The battle for Malaya was just about over. The Japanese had complete control of the Malay Peninsula, and the British and the Australians, Indian troops, had actually withdrawn into Singapore itself, destroying the causeway behind them in an attempt to delay the onrush of the Japanese troops onto the island. Now, the Empire Star had, was carrying equipment and stores, but it actually arrived too late to do any good for the war effort. By the time the ship arrived at Singapore, all the Malay wharf workers had gone. Singapore was in its death throes after bitter fighting that had lasted since the invasion of Malaya on the 7th of December, 1941. The whole city was in chaos, and everybody knew that it was about to fall. And that's when the Empire Star was there, and that's when these two wonderful nurses, Margaret Anderson and Vera Tawney, were working at a hospital in Singapore.
Okay, so they were. That's right. And the atmosphere in the city of Singapore in the days before the Japanese arrived must have been horrendous, I imagine.
Singapore was. I think everybody was really terrified of what was going to happen. Everybody knew, I think, by this time that Singapore was going to fall. There was really nothing that that anybody could do to stop it. There had been a massive amount of blunders that took place in the defence of Singapore. So Singapore was going to fall. The nursing staff, the medical teams that were there, I think were all very conscious of what had happened in Hong Kong when that had previously fallen. And the Japanese had treated the medical teams in that colony very, very brutally. So everybody was worried about what was going to happen in Singapore, and a lot of the Australian teams, medical teams, were there and very worried about not only their own safety, but about the safety of the thousands of wounded soldiers that they were attempting to care for.
Mm. Okay, so the Empire Star, what sort of ship was it? I mean, it wasn't a warship, was it?
No, it wasn't at all. It was a fairly recently built, well-equipped, refrigerated cargo ship that belonged to the Blue Star Line in the UK. It had been sent to Singapore specifically with stores and with equipment for the war effort, but as I say, it had arrived too late. Now, the only use that it could be would be to help with the evacuation from the island, and that's what started to happen.
Who got on it? Who was on the Empire Star when it managed to get out of Singapore?
Yeah, so it was a wide range of people. There were literally about 2,000 or more people on board. That was the captain's estimate later, which is a lot of people for a ship of its size. And there were some wounded. There were a lot of the Australian medical crew, nurses, orderlies and doctors, and quite a number of Australian soldiers who had managed to evade the fighting and climb aboard when they really shouldn't have done. But despite the fact that they shouldn't have been there, when the ship was later attacked, they put up rather a good show in trying to defend it.
Mm. So Margaret and Vera, the two nurses, are on board the ship as it sails out of Singapore. Where are they? Where's the ship headed? What's its destination?
The intended destination was Fremantle in Australia, but they knew that before they could get there, it was going to be a very, very dangerous cruise, I should say, because all the ships that were leaving Singapore were coming under attack. It didn't matter whether they were warships or evacuation ships, cargo ships, even just small, you know, boats, private vessels. Anything that was going out of Singapore was being attacked by the air, by the Japanese. So it was a very dangerous voyage for all involved.
So soon after, in fact, quite soon after leaving the harbour, wasn't it, the boat did come under attack?
Yes. The Empire Star actually left Singapore in company with several other ships, you know, bound initially for Batavia, which is now Indonesia, and as I say, Fremantle. They were crammed with people, including, in fact, one of my personal friends who was on board, who was the aunt of the British actress Hayley Mills, and it was a terrible state to be in. Mm-hmm. The first sign of trouble came about 9 o'clock that morning after the ship had sailed, when the ships were just south of Singapore. Several Japanese spotter aircraft were sighted. And these apparently radioed a report of the ship's position. And around 20 minutes later, the Empire Star and all the other ships in that small convoy were attacked by the Japanese dive bombers. The Japanese pilots were dropping bombs so effectively that despite emergency manoeuvres ordered by the captain, Captain Capon, three bombs actually struck the Empire Star, killing 14 people. The ship had suffered severe damage, fires had broken out, and one of the lifeboats had been hit. But the Japanese attacks continued for the following 4 hours or more as more bombs arrived. The Empire Star managed to avoid most of those bombs by carrying out really quite violent evasive measures. But it was a difficult and dangerous times. And while the bombs were exploding and the Empire Star was careering around in the water, attempting to evade them, other Japanese aircraft were raking the decks with a machine gun fire. And for hundreds of people on the deck, there was little cover. All they could do was just sort of crouch behind equipment or cargo or deck housings in an attempt to evade the bullets.
I'm talking with Tony Matthews, historian and author of a book called Quiet Courage, Forgotten Heroes of World War II. And we're talking about the courage of two nurses on board a ship escaping from Singapore, Margaret Anderson and Vera Tawney. And they were charged with looking after those on board. So where were they while all this shooting is taking place?
Margaret and Vera were actually in a cabin nearby, attending to some, you know, quite badly wounded Australian soldiers. The bombs that had hit the ship had set the ship on fire, and the place was full of smoke. So, at this particular point in time in this drama, the attacks on the ship appeared to ease just momentarily. So Margaret and Vera, in this small cabin, decided that as the gunfire died away for a few minutes, it was a matter of great urgency for them to get those patients out of the cabins and into the fresh air where they, you know, could be able to breathe a little more easily. So they worked together and they managed to drag the men on deck. But almost immediately, the Japanese aircraft returned and they continued to rake the decks with machine gun fire. Now, Margaret and Vera were unable to drag any of their patients into cover, but they stayed with them despite the danger to themselves. And when the attack suddenly intensified and the bullets became thicker, Margaret Anderson, I think surprising everyone around her, threw herself on top of one of the wounded men in an attempt to save him by protecting him from the bullets with her own body. Vera knelt beside several other of the wounded men, comforting them and assisting them, even as the bullets were smashing everything all around her. It was an astonishing piece of selfless gallantry, made even more astonishing, I think, because both nurses, despite being out in the open, were completely unharmed during this attack. It was miraculous.
Yeah, it must have been. Well, fortunately for them, fighter aircraft can't stay in the air for that long, can they? So they've got to get back and refuel. So yes. Was that the last time the ship was attacked?
Yes, it was. Finally, those attacks lessened away, and they faded away. And I think I can almost see both those nurses, you know, standing up and brushing themselves off, and with a look of disbelief on their faces. I think they must have been so astonished still to be alive.
Mm. Yeah, indeed. They were recognised for their acts of bravery, weren't they?
They were, yes. The ship eventually made its way back to Fremantle, and when the story got out about, you know, what these two nurses had done, I think they were quickly recommended for bravery, and there were actually numerous decorations received. Captain Capon was given a CBE for his work, and he was very, very cleverly managed to, throw that ship around the ocean to prevent those bombs hitting it as effectively as they could have done. And there's no doubt that he not only saved the ship, but he saved many, many lives that day. And Margaret Anderson, she received the George Medal, which is the highest civilian award that can be offered. It's kind of the civilian equivalent of the VC. Mm. Vera Tawney was awarded the MBE. And in Australia, they became instant heroes. Their names were suddenly appearing on the front pages of many of the country's leading newspapers. It was really a wonderful example of tremendous courage, which I really felt that I had to include in the book.
Mm. Yes, it certainly is. There are so many stories in and around the fall of Singapore, and this one among them. And I think all of us probably wonder what we would do in a time of crisis. And yeah. As you say, in these stories, you find that some people have extraordinary depths of bravery, don't they?
I think it's one of the things why I wrote this. In fact, it is one of the main reasons why I wrote this book, is that I've always been very interested in what courage is, in analysing courage and asking the question, do we all have it? And if we do all have it, do we all use it when it comes time for us to use that courage? Mm. Or do we turn our backs and say, I am brave enough to do that, but I don't feel like doing that today? And if they do that, you know, what is that? So, yes, courage is something that I've looked at very carefully, and it's interested me for a very long time.
Tony, great to have your time. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed, Phil.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.